Please be seated. Anyone who has ever heard me preach for any length of time knows that one of my all-time favorite movies is that great theological epic, City Slickers, starring Billy Crystal. Now, I've used illustrations from that movie in a number of sermons because I do believe it to have a lot of theology in it, even though it is a comedy. City Slickers is a story of three guys who have their own issues going on and are frankly going through some type of midlife crisis, and they decide to go on a vacation together to a sort of dude ranch where they will actually take part in a cattle drive that's designed to turn City Slickers into real cowboys. And the movie is hilarious as we follow these guys through a series of mishaps and misadventures that, as Billy Crystal exclaims, were not in the brochure. But there's one scene that I'm not sure I have ever used in a sermon before that I thought about when I was reading today's gospel lesson. It's a scene that involves the character Curly. Curly is the guy in charge. He's the guy who's leading the cattle drive. And he is a real cowboy whose gruffness and lack of patience literally scares the city slickers to death. And one afternoon, Mitch, who is Billy Crystal's character, and Curly are off by themselves looking for a missing cow, and their conversation turns a little deeper than it's been in the past. They talk about life. They talk about things that are, or at least should be, important in life. And Curly tells Mitch that he actually knows the meaning of life. It's this, he says, and he just holds up one finger. Well, what does that mean? Mitch asks him. Well, that's what you've got to figure out, Curly says. And that's the end of the conversation. This one thing is truly what I think our gospel lesson is about today. Today's gospel text is one of the most familiar, but also one of the most problematic in all of Scripture. And the church isn't stupid. It's stewardship season everywhere. And I guess you can make this into a stewardship sermon if you want to, but I've always promised you just one stewardship sermon a year, and that was last week, so I'm not going there. Although getting those pledge cards turned in would make me ever so happy. But ever since Jesus met this rich young ruler, as he's come to be known, we've been looking for a way to embrace this gospel text as truth without actually having to believe it. Or worse yet, without having to live it. We have rationalized this text. Jesus was reminding us just to keep our priorities straight. That's what it's about. And we've analyzed it. Scholars point out that the ancient words for camel and rope are actually quite similar. So maybe Jesus is saying that it's easier for rope to pass through the eye of a needle, which is still a pretty tough feat, but at least plausible. We've theologized it. The Hebrew people, like many ancient and modern people, thought wealth was a sign of God's blessing, a mark of righteousness at work, and Jesus was really just talking about teaching them new ways to look at things. We have decoded it. Scholars recognize that the needle could mean an ancient gate, a gate that was so small and narrow that a camel could enter only if his load was removed. So maybe Jesus is telling us that if we want to make it through, we have to let go of some of our baggage. And we've embraced this text. Of course Jesus meant what he said, and he should. Rich people should have a harder time because being poor in this life is hard. And then finally, and perhaps most prevalently, we've sometimes chosen just to ignore this text. And you know, that's funny to me because a whole lot of Christianity spends a whole lot of time and energy attempting to prove the Bible is literal truth. And yet, when we stumble across a passage like this, the same people spend a lifetime trying to reason, analyze, and explain it all away. So what's the real story? What does this text actually mean for you and me? I don't know. I really don't know. I think, like so much of Scripture, meaning is found in the hearing, in the quietness of our own hearts, our own circumstances, our own lives. And for me, this time, I found meaning in that single line that Jesus had to say to the rich man. The man wants to know what he must do to inherit eternal life, and Jesus replies, "You lack one thing." And even though Scripture doesn't tell us, I can picture Jesus holding up that finger just like Curly. And for me, that's the point where I think each of us can lean in and listen and find something of ourselves in this text. Because we all know that sense of lacking something. Sometimes I think we're even afraid that somebody's going to notice what it is that we don't have. We're all painfully aware, or at least should be, that we are vulnerable somehow. That we're not as well-heeled or as articulate or as well-placed or as handsome or as beautiful or as young or as happy in some respect as others are. One thing, at least, we lack. And that's not what the man who went to Jesus was expecting to hear, because to everybody else, he had everything. He was even good at keeping the commandments. But there had to have been something nagging at him. There had to have been something nagging at him, otherwise he would have never gone to Jesus. There had to be something missing, something money had not yet bought him. What could that be? What one thing might he not have? Well, I don't know that either. But Jesus tells him to go sell what he owns and to give it to the poor so he might have treasure in heaven, and then to follow. And this man becomes the only man in the whole Gospel of Mark who walks away from that invitation to follow. And in a way, I think he's the only wounded one who declines to be healed. And here, if we can't find ourselves identifying with the rich young ruler, then I think we're not paying attention. Because not one of us would have responded any differently. Not one of us would have responded by selling all we own and giving it to the poor. And if you would be willing, then please meet me in the back following the service and I will give you a new pledge card. At its core, I'm not so sure this story has anything to do with money or riches. I think the point of the story is that one thing. That one thing that usually stands between us and God. And I'm convinced that one thing is most often ourselves. The one thing we most often lack is our ability to be free. To be free from the things that we let define us. In recognizing that so often the things we own end up owning us. And our worth is not found in what we possess, but in whose we are. And that's a problem for both rich and poor. We always trust more of what we have in hand, what we've earned, what we can keep, what we can pile up, as opposed to what we have not yet seen. That one thing we lack then is our ability to be free. That one thing may be money. It may be resentment. It may be forgiveness. It may be our inability to recognize those abundant occasions of grace that surround us. It may be our reluctance to recognize something greater than ourselves. I can't answer that question for you. But I believe it's at the core of who we are. And it's what keeps us from being the follower, the disciple, the believer, the witness that God wants and needs us to be. You see, the gift of the kingdom of God, if we are able to understand this story of the rich young ruler and Jesus, comes only to those who realize it's a gift, whose hands are empty and whose hearts are open, and who realize that the grace of God cannot be bought. It is like trying to squeeze a camel through the eye of a needle. How hard it is to do that when your hands are full and you're trying to carry all you own on your back. The gift of the kingdom of God cannot be bought. It cannot be possessed because it is free. And I believe it's what ultimately frees us. And how hard is it to enter that gracious freedom of that kingdom? Well, I guess that's up to each one of us. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The man wants to know. You lack one thing, Jesus says. What in the world does that mean? Well, in the words of the great prophet Curly, that's what you have to figure out. God love you. Amen.